Thank you for joining us for the segment of Notable People with your host, Andrea Schwartz, where we introduce you to some notable people making significant contributions toward furthering the kingdom of Christ.
Again, and welcome to this segment of Notable People. You know, one of the perks of having been affiliated with the Chalcedon Foundation for almost 25 years is that I have the pleasure of rubbing elbows with some pretty dynamic people. My guest today is Pastor Paul Michael Raymond, who definitely falls into that category. He is the pastor of the Reformed Bible Church in Central Virginia and is actively involved with the Institute for Theonomic Reformation. Today's discussion, however, will focus on his role as the dean of the New Geneva Christian Leadership Academy, whose mission statement reads as follows. New Geneva is dedicated to the advancement of the Christian faith and biblical law for a Christ-centered societal order through scriptural scholarship and the application of God's law word to every area and institution of human existence. New Geneva students are poised to become the men and women God has called them to be. So, let's get right to our discussion. Thank you for joining me today, Paul.
Thank you, Andrea. I do appreciate the opportunity.
I have been a recent fan of yours. I can't exactly remember when the Chalcedon Foundation first featured you in one of its magazines, and I believe you had an article in there as well. But I've always been impressed since I've come to know of you and your ministries how unabashed you are in proclaiming God's word as the rule for all areas of life. How did you come to that perspective? What's your journey been that got you to the point that you now are the dean of a leadership academy?
Well, it's been quite an interesting journey. I was not raised in a covenant Christian home, but God did call me and my wife wonderfully at the same time in 1989 or thereabout. Actually, 1985, and my daughter was born in 89. So by the time we had our first daughter, we were well on our way to biblical Christianity, so we were able to raise all of our children in a homeschool covenant environment. And as I kept studying the scriptures and becoming involved more and more in the church, things progressed according to God's providence, and I finally was ordained in the Christian Reformed Church, the Dutch Reformed Church, and then we moved to the Orthodox Presbyterian arena where we tried to start a church there. And yet that did not pan out, and because of some of the frustration with some of our men who were with me at the time, we decided to strike out on our own, and since we did have already the ordination, we started our own congregation, and that was in 1992. That was in New York. In 1998, we decided to move the work to Virginia for many, many reasons. The area, our children, the homeschool laws, and some of the other laws of Virginia were more amiable to Christianity and just basic morality than New York was. As Howard Phillips told me, you're in the belly of the beast, you need to move. So we took his advice and we moved. And we started the Reformed Bible Church with a number of families, and that grew until the time that we're at today. But in New York, we also had a homeschool Christian academy where we would sponsor different courses for the homeschool parents and their students, their children during the week. And that morphed into something more elaborate here in Virginia. But as, of course, you know, as your children get older, you're looking for things for them. And as they got to the college age, we realized, what about an alternative in higher education? Since most higher education, even biblical Christian education, had what I call a disconnect from the scholarship and academic area to the application of that knowledge. And there seemed to be a disconnect between what the student learned and how the student should apply it. So we decided to start what we call the New Geneva Christian Leadership Academy, which teaches it unto the end, which is up application, to build models in the various institutions of this world, as God has ordained all things should be conformed to His word, His law word, and to build these models in different areas of the United States, starting here where we are in Appomattox, Virginia, in order to see what works and what doesn't, and try to build, I imagine, a prototype of what the world should be like if Christians would only understand what God has commissioned them to do in every area of life. So I guess to answer your question more directly and more precisely, in 1995 I was preaching in New York, and someone came to me after the sermon, an older gentleman, and he said to me, Pastor, I hope you're not going to get rush duty on me. And I don't know if I shared this with you before, but I didn't know what a rush duni was. And I was curious. And obviously I was preaching post-millennialism, active involvement in every area of life and for the word of God, for the glory of Christ, as he has commissioned his people from throughout the scriptures, not only Matthew 28, but throughout the scriptures. So of course, immediately as is my nature, I bought as many rush duni books as I could find, and I started reading them, and I said, look at that, I'm a rush duni, I guess. And that's basically when it started, and the reason why we came to Virginia is to apply that which has been written about, and there's been a lot written about.
Okay, so obviously New Geneva is a reference to Calvin's Geneva. Is there a sense of doing the same thing with this pilot program that John Calvin did in Geneva in his day?
Well, of course, the situations are very different. The situation governmentally with the civil magistrates in Geneva was different than it is today, but I think there's a close parallel, and I think the church needs to be actively involved, which unfortunately it is not, in the areas of life such as not only politics, because salvation and the reconstruction of this world, according to God's word, is not done through a political movement. It is done through a Christian movement, a theonomic, if you will, a scriptural movement. But politics is one area that we have to deal with. And the law of God, the moral law of God, must be applied to those areas, as well as economics and the various philosophies that govern many areas of society, of business, and science, ecology, and especially education. So we, of course, know there are differences between our modern day and Geneva, and that is why we need to have a galvanization of minds, Christian minds, mature Christian minds, who are skilled in the Word of God and the law of God, to pound out some of the difficulties of application between what Geneva did and what the Hebrew Republic did, and to apply it somehow equitably to our modern time. And I still believe that we are at ground zero doing that. At least the discussion now is out in the open. And through New Geneva, we are trying to provide a biblical alternative to real biblical Christian education with the end in mind for leadership.
Well, some people get really nervous when the word theonomy is thrown around as though it means a sort of Christian version of fundamentalist Muslim combatants forcing everybody into a certain mold. How do you respond to that?
Well, first I ask, what is your definition of theonomy? Secondly, we must understand also that everyone who is in the Christian faith is a theonomist to some degree and a postmillennialist, where they believe that there will be victory on earth in time and in history to some degree. The other question I ask is, well, if it's not God's law, then whose law? Because it can never be no law, it must be a law. And I ask, well, whose law will it be if it's not God's law? And is God's law faulty somewhere? Does it lack something? I think the problem is that we lack understanding and application of the law, but the law is perfect. It is righteous and holy and just and equitable. It is not tyrannical as the Islamic Sharia law. Now, I have to say something about Islamic law in structure. It is very close to theonomic theocracy. But in method and its application, it is, of course, very oppressive, wicked, evil, and tyrannical. But the structures are the same, and I think people miss the forest for the trees because they all of a sudden want to negate God's law by making that unrighteous and unjust and unfair, parallel to Sharia law or Islamic law, which is tyrannical. So that's what I try to prod the individual with those questions that they might ask, well, is God's law something to be shunned? Should we have a natural law, which is up for, of course, interpretation by the individual, or positive law, which is what we have today? And none of this has worked. So why not at least give God's law a chance and at least bring the discussion to the table? Problem today, even with the Reformed faith, is people don't even want to discuss this. And I ask, why are you so fearful?
That's true. And I've even seen in some homeschooling circles when they're prepping people to become excellent debaters, very rarely are biblical arguments ever proffered because the perspective is we've got to make our arguments apart from the Bible and persuade people apart from the Bible. Well, you and I both know, as soon as you chuck the Bible, it's one man's opinion against another's.
And it really boils down to a matter of faulty philosophy, faulty epistemology, where they think that their source of truth is somewhere outside of Holy Scripture, the revelation of God. And once that is adopted, once that faulty idea of a source of truth being outside the revelation of God, you either have rationalism or the God of reason or empiricism or something of that nature, but you no longer have revelation. And the only trustworthy epistemological basis for any argument is the Scriptures. And that's where we come to, you know, the debate about presuppositionalism. When we argue, we presuppose that the Bible is the Word of God. We don't have to argue that it is. We need not prove it. We just use it. Because that is the power of God. And that's how we cast down every imagination and high thing, which exalts itself against the knowledge of God through the use of God's Word. And this is what we want to teach at the New Geneva. It should be taught in every... Look, the New Geneva wouldn't be here, or it wouldn't even be necessary to have anything like this if the pastors were doing their jobs in the churches. But they're not teaching. They're giving anecdotal stories and sermons. They're not preparing. They're hiding rather than becoming what the church has always been, militant, triumphant, training them in the churches, getting them out into the marketplace, and making a difference in the society.
Like many ministries that are effectively trying to get Christians to wake up and apply the faith to all areas of life, it wouldn't be necessary if the church had been fulfilling its role. So who exactly are your potential candidates as students in your leadership academy? Who are you looking to attract?
Well, we are looking to attract not only skilled and knowledgeable, maybe high school seniors who are coming out of the homeschool agenda, but also college individuals, college age individuals who don't want to waste 4 years of their lives in the liberal arts, quote unquote, even the biblical schools, the biblical Bible colleges. They make them go through the first and maybe 1.5 years of just taking just basic things. We cut to the chase. We give them the things that they need to begin a life of godly service in any and every area. In fact, he's got almost all areas covered at the moment. But we also encourage adults, and we structure the courses, which mostly are correspondence, for those who are fathers or even mothers and those who have a heavy work schedule, and we tailor it to their time schedule so that they can begin to make a difference in their community and in their families and in their lives. So it's tailored basically to anyone who has an interest. It can also be used as a prep school. For instance, if you have a child coming out of high school and says, you know, Mom, Dad, I really think I'm interested in law. Well, before we go headlong into a law school approach and a tract of education, which is costly, well, let's see if you really like law and being Christians, let's enroll you in a prep school for the first year. You take the first year and you take some courses in New Geneva. So we would enroll you in Biblical Law, the Institute of Biblical Law, maybe the first and second semester of Volume 1 and 2. We might enroll the student in Constitutional Law and the Institutes of the Constitution and Constitutional and Political Philosophy and things of that nature, as well as maybe some basic biblical world and life view courses. That will give the student everything that student needs to decide whether or not law is for that student. But if not, at least you're going into the college arena, into the sometimes it's the belly of the beast, and most times, even in the best colleges which call themselves Bible colleges, they have been compromised. At least you're giving them that fundamental foundation, that basis, to analyze properly what the professors are dishing out, whether it be true or not.
Now, is this a self-paced program, or once a person enrolls, keep them to a pretty exact schedule?
Well, we're trying to be as flexible as possible. I know I'm very thankful to Whitfield Theological Seminary, where I graduated with my master's before my doctoral dissertation. They were very kind. They said, look, you work at your own pace. We know you're pastoring, you're a father, you have a school, you're doing all these things. This was several years ago. And they say, you know, at your own pace. So we want to pretty much, you know, within reason, we don't want a student to take 5 years on one course that really should only take maybe 16 weeks. But we do want to give them the ability to study properly, not rush it through, not just bang it out, but to really dig deeply into what the lectures and the readings are teaching, and to make sure they do a good job, because we want to go as deeply as possible with them in the scholarship and the academics, but we never want to forget that they're doing this for a purpose, and we challenge them to get the understanding so as to apply what they've learned. So we ask them to read and to think about certain strategies and logistics, because we have plenty of strategies. We go to a conference, and there's many conferences going on this summer, and most times it's a group of good and godly Christians just whining about how bad it is. So they take 60 minutes to whine about how bad it is, to tell us over and over again how bad it is, how we've fallen, and then they take the last maybe 1 minute to tell us, and here's what we got to do, bang, 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 and no one really knows what to do. But we want to start at the end of the sermon. We want to start at the end of the message. We know the problem. We know what the situation is. Now, here are the logistics to the strategy behind our mission. So that'll put the nuts and bolts right in the forefront of what we need to do. Here's the material. Let's pound out the application.
So do students have a mentoring relationship with one of the instructors at the academy? Do people have group courses? Is it one-on-one? What's your setup?
Yes, it's all of the above. Yes, we have mentoring. We have what we call contact hours, where the professors will teach either one-on-one or answer questions, or have a conference situation if they have more than one student taking it at the same level of time. You know, students are signing up at all different times, and they're at all different places. So the professor will have contact hours with them, email back and forth, as well as we also have some on-campus courses, too, because we don't want to omit the arts, the visual arts, and the music as well. So we have that. But mostly that is the philosophy of music from a biblical point of view, and the philosophy of the visual arts. What is art? What is God's definition of art? Because most of the time, people go through the academics and they forget some of the other courses, such as music and art and things of that nature, of the aesthetic area of ethics. So we want to make sure we touch all bases. As we said, we want to deal with every aspect and every institution of life that God has ordained to be in this world, and seek to conform it to the biblical revelation, the biblical standard. So yes, we do have mentors, and we have lectures online, as whatever the student needs, and whenever the student needs it, we are available for that student whenever there's a glitch, whenever there's a problem, whenever there's a question. And that is what we believe will bring the student to the place they need to be.
So is the student's response in the form of papers written or essay questions answered? How do you monitor how the student's doing?
Yes. Basically what we do is we give them all of the lectures necessary, if there are lectures, and usually there are. There are very few courses without lectures. They'll listen to the lectures, they'll outline the lectures, they'll make sure we have proper outlines, they'll read the material, and all through this session, they'll be corresponding with the individual professor. But they'll outline the lectures, they'll do chapter summaries on the readings, they'll write papers, and we try to teach them how to write position papers so that they can understand how to influence the culture from their learning as it would apply to their course. So yes, there's writing, and that's another thing too, as far as writing is concerned. We want that student to be able to write a clear declarative sentence so that we can move people's minds and educate their minds. Sometimes that's a glitch, because sometimes students can't write as well. So this is also a help in their writing, and we correct it, we discuss it, and we give some of our critique and analysis, and that will help them as well. So it's both discussion and writing and outlining of the lectures and the reading materials.
You know, I think people underestimate the value of writing position papers. I really didn't even know what a position paper was until I first encountered Dr. R.J. Rushdoony's whole stack of position papers, where as a result of studying the Word of God and studying other people, an individual comes to a position. What is my position on abortion? What is my position on statist education? And by encouraging people to come up with that and having to write it, I have found, as I have dealt with people in mentoring situations, it actually gives them a greater confidence when they're sharing the gospel, because they can share the full-orbed gospel with the idea of biblical law as the means by which a society comes to Christ.
Yes. And one of the outworkings of the New Geneva is what we call the Society of Governors. So let's say, for instance, we have a number of position papers. Well, they're just position papers. We need to use those position papers to actually and actively build a model in the culture itself. So that would be an advanced leg of our work. And we will take graduates of our academy, and those who are already on board without any of these courses and put them in wherever they are. Maybe there's some in Oklahoma City. Maybe there's a group of three or four or five men or individuals in another city. And we will start networking with them, not only to discuss the position and the policies of Scripture as it applies to certain institutions and certain practices, but also to get them involved in the application and the implementation of those positions in the culture. We have most of the position papers we need. There's very little that has not been written. What needs to happen now, no more textbooks need to be written, no more position papers need to be written, although they will be written, and that's fine. We want to now use them and apply them, build the real models in the society to see what works, what doesn't work, to know where we failed here, to repair it over there, and then to see what the outcome is. So what we've done here is we have a library, and it's modest. I mean, it's going to sound tremendous. Our whole work sounds tremendous. It's really very humble, but we do have a library that God has been pleased to equip us with about between 25 and 30,000 books, MP3 files, PDF files, videos and documentaries from the biblical point of view, resources which our students, if they're on campus, that is, of course, can utilize to polish their position papers and to research some of the history behind theonomy and the application of Calvin's theology in Geneva. How did that all work out? What worked? What didn't work? How can we fix it? How can we apply it to our day and our age today in our modern society? So we're hoping that we will be a prototype for other areas to follow our lead. They don't have to be exactly like we've done, but they will follow our lead. Say, look, they've done this. This is their mission. That's a great idea. Let's start one here. Let's start one there.
Well, like all good ideas, especially in terms of furthering the Christian faith, you can't have too many competitors if they're orthodox and they are desirous of building the kingdom, because there's certainly enough people to go around.
Yeah, I agree. And I'll tell you, honestly, Andrea, if someone was doing this somewhere, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. I'd pass through my church. I'd probably get involved in their work. But it doesn't seem like this is really being done. In fact, the more we get our exposure, the more people call me and say something that I didn't realize, I've never seen anything like this. I've never heard anything like this. This is great. Can I be involved? What can I do? Can I teach a course here? Can I do this there? And I kind of scratch my head and I say, is this so unique? It seems like such a no-brainer. And yet it is actually very, very unique in the day in which we live. And that means to me, it tells me that we live in a very dark day.
So what about the family that's looking to have this for a student who might be college-bound in the future? Is New Geneva accredited?
Well, we do have an accreditation statement on our website, which is www.newgeneva.us. And that accreditation simply tells the parent what accreditation really is and how it's become pretty much simply a good old boy network. But what I usually tell folks at the outset, just to break the ice a little bit before I explain the details, is we're accredited, we have the same accreditation as Oxford and Harvard, because both of those universities don't have accreditation, but because they don't need it. We do not want to be under anyone's oversight, because we do not feel, especially the state or some of the other institutions that have been compromised, we don't want to be stymied into towing the line, because once we become accredited under that banner, then you are pretty much tied to that accreditation standard. I believe our standards are excellent. I believe they're high. I believe that we challenge the student on every level possible, and they don't come out of any of these classes the same as when they went in. We have been, however, blessed to have endorsements. We have endorsements from some very knowledgeable and scholarly men in the Christian community. Mark Rushdoony was very kind to endorse us, and Mark doesn't endorse really anybody, and he was very, very kind to do that for us. Also, Gary DeMar from American Vision and others. Ken Gentry, also one of the board members from the Christ College, which was here for many, many years in Lynchburg, Virginia, now is in Georgia. So we do have endorsements. We are seeking other endorsements from other individuals who believe that this is a good work and needs to be thought about and considered, at least considered, before making that safe decision to go to a Bible college here or a Bible college there. Also, we have been acknowledged by Whitfield Theological Seminary, who will take our undergraduate courses and apply them to their accreditation. And, of course, their accreditation is very small, too, especially being Reformed and Calvinistic. And then once you add theonomy and Reconstruction, you're pretty much in a world all by yourself. So to seek accreditation in any way, shape, or form, you're probably not going to get it, number one. Number two, and just let me just say this, the accreditation institutions that I have searched out, and when we first started, I thought about this, they want thousands and thousands of dollars to come and look at your facility, go through the courses. I can go and do it for free. Why can't I accreditate people? Well, why do I need someone who I don't even know, or I don't even really respect some of their doctrine if it's not faithful to the Protestant Reformation? Why am I going to ask them and pay them good money where I could put toward teaching students to come and tell me that, oh yeah, we think you're pretty good.
Exactly.
I think we're pretty good, and I think that's enough. And all you have to do is see for yourself. So that's what I usually tell parents. But of course, you know, everyone's worried about their job and their accreditation degrees. We will confer degrees as well. But just like anything, there are people out there who don't really care about your degree. They want to know what you know. They want to know your integrity. They want to know what you can accomplish.
Right. I'm thinking as I listen to you talk, this is anything but an ivory tower kind of education. And along the lines of post-high school, I could also see this being very useful for women who are seriously in the midst of or contemplating homeschooling to be able to shore up their understanding of Scripture's application to all areas, which would in fact make them better teachers.
And we embrace that idea wholeheartedly. We have had women in our courses, young mothers, seasoned veterans in the homeschool arena, and that is very, very, very much in our purview. So we do want to encourage whoever just to, you know, take a few courses and see what it's all about and see the precision of our scholarship. And then the understanding that we want you now to go out and apply it. That's very important. We also will take, like I said at the outset, high school students who show, you know, scholarship and ability to read and to think logically and to think critically, biblically, of course. Anyone that's in a high school senior or even some juniors, I've had some juniors, very astute, take some courses and have done very, very well. So we're hoping to even have those kind of students become a part of this, looking to not only the next generation, but the generation after that as well.
Right. Okay, we're coming to the end of their time. I just looked at it, and I'm saying, oh my, we're almost at our half-hour mark here. Cost. What does it cost to be part of the Leadership Academy?
Well, that's the other aspect of what we're trying to do. We don't want to be cost prohibitive. You think about classical schools and colleges, and all of a sudden no one can afford it anymore, so they more or less acquiesce and go to the lesser of the of what they can afford. Most of our courses are we and just let me at the outset, if anyone can't pay for the courses, we give them a payment plan. We confer scholarships. We, for instance, if they take three courses and they really want to finish the certificate and they need one more course, we'll just give them the one more course. That's what we want to do. We need to get the information out there. Most courses are between $150 and $275, depending on the course. The seminary courses are usually $275, $250, $200 per course. If the whole tract is signed up for, there's, of course, a discount and there's payments available. But most courses are between $200 and $225.
Now, does that include the materials the student needs?
Yes, it includes all the lectures, but it does not include the books.
Okay, so they have to pick up those books either from the publishers or from a used site like Amazon.
Right. Well, we have a lot of, we try to have them purchase books that we can get wholesale. Not, we try to find them online, used. Or if the books are in a PDF format, we'll just send them the PDF and they will have that. So we want to keep it where they will be encouraged. The families will not be stressed financially, especially if you think about some of these families with, you know, 3, 4, or 5 children. How are they going to afford college for everyone? If they have 5 boys and they want them to go and you know, advance the Christian kingdom in the world, what, is the youngest going to now get shut out because he's the youngest? So we want to help the families.
And when you think about it, when you look at the cost of higher education, this is a very economical way to do it. It may not have the worldly credentials of universities or colleges, but I know for a fact that there are plenty of people in the business world who aren't really eager to hire college graduates because they don't always live up to the degree that they have at the end of their name.
Yes, and our professors are professionals with masters and doctorates. You'll find their integrity beyond compare, without compromise. And this is what has led them to us.
Well, I remember Dr. Rushduni used to say that as a graduate of UC Berkeley, he spent a good portion of his post-university days unlearning things that he learned and having to put the biblical template on all areas and disciplines. So it'd be nice not to have to undo work and to be able to get it right from the outset.
Yes, I agree. I was raised as a Marxist during my college years, and then I realized what it was when I started reading the Bible. So yes, you have to do undo a lot of damage once you go down that road.
Okay. Well, thanks for spending time with me today. Give us the contact information for New Geneva.
Yes, newgeneva.us. You go on that site, you'll see all of the courses. You can look at all of the courses that we give. And, of course, we do have a blog, and we have a number of links. You can go on there, and you can email me if you have any questions at pastor@hisglory.us. And you may want to check our site, hisglory.us and hisglory.com, which we have as well.
Excellent. I'm looking forward to hearing good things about New Geneva, and I hope our listeners will share this information with others they might come in contact.
Well, thank you so much.
Visit us on the web at www.notablepeople.org.